Well, praise the Lord.
Amen.
God is still on the throne and prayer changes things.
That's right.
I'm supposed to be doing an opening scripture. I don't know how to do one scripture, so I'm going to do the opening scriptures. Recently, in fact, it was September 23rd on a Friday night, we had a meeting here, a special meeting with Tom Travers and others. And I had been asked to do a 30-minute teaching on Matthew 16:26. And in Matthew 16:26 says, "What profit or benefit is to a man if he gains the whole world and he loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Well, that's in a deep subject to start with, and I didn't do 30 minutes, but I answered that question real easy, really. There is no benefit for a man to gain the whole world. Because when he dies, he's going to leave it all behind, every bit of it. And that goes for you ladies, too, by the way. But then I got to thinking about that. It's an absolute truth. But if we're leaving it all behind and when we pass, then what? So I looked up a few scriptures, and this is what the then what is. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. "It is appointed for men to die once, but after this is the judgment." 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. "For we must all of us, appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." And I thought of that as well. Maybe he's going to ask, did we sow love? Or maybe he's going to ask, did you believe in Jesus? But then I came to Revelation, the 20th chapter, when I was researching this topic, I kind of short here today, but starting with the 12th verse in Revelation 20. "I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened." I could go down a rabbit trail wondering what the books were, but I'm not going to. "Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works, by the things which were written in those books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to their works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire." But then when I got this next verse, 15, I thought to myself, "Lord, I've studied Revelations. I've been reading the Bible for..." Did you just stick that in there? I never noticed that before. Revelation 20, verse 15 says, "And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." That's a scary thought, and I understand why a lot of preachers don't bring it up. It's a deep subject, and I'm trying to keep it down to 5 minutes. But that scripture really caught my attention. And I started thinking about different things. And I thought, you know, according to scripture, if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul, your name won't be in the book of life. And you're going to spend eternity in a very bad place. That's scary. But today I want to share some thoughts about those scriptures. Number one, God does not put people in the lake of fire. And number two, God does not want us in the lake of fire. And that is why that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's...
Amen.
When God created the earth and mankind, he established certain laws, and they remain in place at all times. That's in both the spiritual realm and in the natural realm. In the natural realm, we understand gravity. If you step off the edge of a 20-foot story building, there's only one result. It's not good. Well, that principle applies in the spiritual realm, too. And there's two laws that I have thought about. There's the law of sowing and reaping. What you sow is what you're going to get. There's also the law of believing and receiving. Those are the two laws that really got me thinking. A lot of people don't understand or they don't realize this. God gave us humans freedom of choice. Mm-hmm. You hear about choice in reference to life and death and the abortion stuff. Did you know God is both pro-choice and pro-life? Think about that. But, always a but, God did not give us freedom from the results of our choices. You choose to jump off the roof of a building, you don't have a freedom on what the choice is, unless maybe you got a parachute on. And we reap what we sow, and we receive what we believe. You ever thought about that? We receive what we believe. But as that scripture says, choices that we make in this life will determine if our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, when I did that teaching a couple of weeks ago, I had a lot of scriptures, and I'm not trying to get in that. I'm trying to come up with another point that I missed. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Jesus gave us an assignment in that verse. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We sometimes read these verses kind of quickly and look over them, but stop to think a minute. We've got an assignment to preach the gospel to every creature. But here, there are choices for those who listen to our preaching. They have a choice. In verse 16, he who believes is baptized and will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. Basically, it's as simple as that. It's our choice. We can choose life or we can choose death. The key words in that verse is believe and baptized. It gives you the result of salvation. But the other key word is unbelief. They didn't use that. He says if you don't believe. But unbelief is going to equal condemnation. It's going to equal a lake of fire and brimstone. But what I'm trying to get at is this. We all want our family, friends, neighbors to have their names written in Lamb's Book of Life. Because we love them. But we also know what happens if their name is not there. Anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. As I read that, I thought to myself, that ought to be enough to inspire myself and all of us, give us inspiration to preach the gospel by the spoken word, but also to preach the gospel by how we live. If we're going to talk the walk, we really need to walk the talk. And that talk, they will know us by our love. Love is God's way of doing things. Satan's way is to use force or threats to make converts. And they call it, or I call it, religion. But here's what I really got out of this that was kind of burning in my soul. God desires for us to love him because we want to. Not because we have to. And that's why he gave us freedom of choice and the opportunity for a personal relationship with his son, Jesus. God does not want us preaching the gospel, turn or burn, you sinners. You got to accept Jesus Christ or you're going to hell. No, God doesn't want that. That's threats and force. God has set the example by love, and he wants us to set the example by our love. The law of sowing and reaping and the law of believing and receiving has been permanently established. If you sow love, you will reap love. If we believe in Jesus, we will reap eternal life. And I looked at that word believe and I said, gracious, I keep reading believe every time I open the Bible. In the Old Testament, the word believe, for whatever it's worth, is only used 41 times. I thought this was interesting. In the New Testament, the word believe, according to what I researched, 229 times. It's all about believing and receiving. And that principle, I don't want to run down a rabbit trail here, but that also applies to healings. Believe and receive, or you can doubt and go without. But it's so precious. God wants us to love each other. It's all about love. It's not about where we're going to end up. But how do we do that? Not all of us are evangelists. Not all of us can stand up here and speak. But we can do our own individual parts. And I can tell you that I learned a lot from from Dave Wells about planting seeds. And after I read these scriptures here, I'm doing the thing that I can do best. I plant seeds. I sneak tracks here and there and everywhere. And my most recent one is I have these thank you tracks. And when I go to eat out, which I do quite a lot, is when I give the waitress a tip, I give her two tips, and they're big ones. The first one is extra money, big. The second one is the biggest tip of all. I give her a thank you track. And I've had that happen one day with Rick and I at the Riverside restaurant. The radical waitress come back. She was blown away for the size of the tip, but that's not the point. She was almost in tears because she read that thing and it blessed her. Somebody else has the gift of evangelism, or the gift of what I call the gift of closure, to actually lead them to the Lord. But at least I got the seeds planted. And wrapping this up, I just want to say that God has given us his great and precious promises. He's given us hope. He's given us joy. He's given us peace. He's given us wisdom. And he's also given us strength for whatever we are facing in our daily lives. And everyone in this room knows it's not all easy, but he gives us the grace and the strength to get through it. And if our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, we need not fear death. We need not fear the day of judgment. We don't need to fear what man does to us in these terrible last days before Jesus Christ comes back. Fear has torment. Perfect love casts out fear. It's all about love. None of us are perfect. We all go through trials. I can sit here for a long time telling you about some of the stuff Marlene and I are walking through right to this day, but I'm not going to. But the most important thing is Jesus loves us. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Amen. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.